LBJ, calling the 75 meter Antique Wireless Association, Bruce Kelly, HF, net, 3867.5. Let's see, WA2, YWW. N2CQB. N2CMT.
Good morning, Al. N2CME, W2LBJ.
Okay, good morning, Peter. AA2JI. K4KRE.
K4KRE, good morning.
Okay, good morning, Paul. A good signal. W3WBE.
W3WBE here. Good morning, Al.
Okay, good morning, Dave. WA3KLR, we had you check in. WA3DSC. Good morning, Doug. Paul, W3VBS, we have you checked in. How about Floyd, W3OLV?
W3OLV, good morning, Al.
Okay, good morning, Floyd. K3BLC.
K2BLC, good morning, Al.
Okay, good morning, John. WA2TWS.
WA2TWS, in and out. I have to get to a radio luncheon. Good morning, everybody. Back you, Al.
Okay, good morning, Roy. In and out. See you on Friday. W2DGB. K2TAE. And WB2ETC. And K2LC. K2HCT. W2BSN.
W2BSN, good morning, Al.
Hey, good morning, Lynn. W1GSO. Alrighty, anyone else for the Antique Wireless Association net? It's an open net, and everyone is welcome. Okay, nothing heard. Welcome to the first net of November. Today's November the 1st, obviously. And weather-wise, we're at 60 degrees. Super, super bright sun. Wow, I like overcast days. But the sun will warm things up here today. And last night I was busy hanging around by the front door waiting for Halloweeners. So I did not have the TV on, but I did have CHWO on from Toronto. I had a very, very good signal last night. Until about 10 o'clock when the band started to change. Well, speaking of Halloween, our town has instituted something new here for the kids. I guess they get out of school early, I don't know, 12 or 1 or something, and they meet downtown, the center of town, and at 1 o'clock, and they have a mini parade and a costume contest and whatever, and that goes on most of the afternoon, so we didn't see any kids around in the afternoon except around 3:30. Two boys came to the door, and they were the first two, and then later on, I saw a bunch of kids walking down the center of the street. They didn't stop in any of the houses, and then there was another group going the other way, maybe a dozen or so, and they were stopping at all the houses on the other side across the street, and they didn't stop on our side. So I thought maybe they'd go up to the end of the road and come back, but apparently they didn't. But about 20 after 5, we finally got a few more. And that was it. I was shocked. I guess we had about 10 or 12 total. And I have a lot of candy to give away. So if you guys take your masks off and come to the door, There's lots of candy here.
Okay, I don't have a topic.
So if anybody has something they'd like to offer, why, we can certainly use it. Anybody with a topic?
Peter, you pass it to Paul, K4KRE.
Ben Allen belt after.
That's to Dave, W3WBE. To Tom, WA3KLR. To Doug, WA3DSP. To Paul, W3VVS. Then to Floyd, W3OLV. Then over the mountain to John, K3BLC. Then to Roy, WA2TWS. Oh no, he's out. He's in and out. Let's see. John, you pass it to Lynn, W2BSN. How about that? Boy, oh boy. That's a first. And Lynn, you pass it back to me. So N2CME and the group W2OBJ.
W2OBJ, N2CME. I think Tom was trying to reply to your topic question. You were both stumbling for a bit. So let me pass it back to Tom for just a second. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Peter. I don't know if they're really topics, Al. Like, I got two articles here to read I almost forgot about.
They're both from
the latest QS or CQ magazines. One's prices of old boat anchors, what they sold for back then, projected out to today, and the other one's an article on a scheme to get particles out of the Van Allen belt after a nuke has gone off at high altitude. I guess I'll read one article on the first go-round and the other article on the second go-round.
Yeah, okay, why don't you do that now, and then we'll let Peter start the net. Go ahead, Tom.
Okay, the October 2006 CQ, WA3KLR, had an article here on some of these expensive and unique boat anchors. They start out talking about a Central Electronics. I think everybody's heard of the 100D Exciter, but there was a 100R receiver. There was only one made, and it cost Central $250,000 in 1961. So what's it worth today? if you project that out, it's $1,696,000. But they have some of the popular old rigs here. The Hammerlin HQ120, 1938, original price $117. It comes out to $1,684 today. Telecrafters S38, 1946, would be $411 today. The Central Electronics 10A, built in 53, $160, original price, $1,212 today. Telecrafters SX-88, 1953, $595 today, $4,529.50, today $2,485. Collins KWS-1, 1955, $1,995, today $15,104. The Drake 1A, 1957, $299, today $2,159. Heath Drake DX60, 1962, $79.95, today $537. The National NC303, 1963, $449 then, today $29.77. The Heath HW101, 1970, they say $400, so I guess they had to figure out a build price, right, because the kit was $249 then, $2,091. This other article, a satellite protection plan, this is from November 2006 CQ, page 4. A research group in New Zealand is warning of possible dire consequences for HF communications and GPS navigation if the U.S. moves ahead with plans for its radiation belt remediation program. According to the ARRL letter, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA, is planning to direct extremely high-intensity DLF radio waves into the Van Allen belts in an effort to flush particles from those belts in the upper atmosphere. This is part of a plan to try to protect low Earth orbit satellites from radiation damage in the event of a severe solar storm or a high altitude nuclear detonation. However, researchers at New Zealand's University of Otago warned that all those charged particles falling into the upper atmosphere could cause unusually intense HF blackouts around most of the world for up to a week at a time. It also says large-scale disruptions of the global positioning system would be likely as well. No comment from DARPA. So it's the old story, I guess, one trade off one thing for another. Back to you, Al, or over to Peter, N2CME, WA3KLR.
WA3KLR, N2CME. That's fascinating stuff. I must tell you, I'm looking or found this weekend when I was back to getting some stuff from our place in New Jersey, a couple of catalogs from Associated Radio, and I noticed and the date on them is 1980, actually, and I was looking at the prices of some of the very things you were talking about, Tom, and it's Hot Water 101.
Sprinkled rain earlier, but nothing to really count anything. Well, messing with the ionosphere, I don't think that's a good idea.
Doug, is that a
ancestor of yours, WA3DST, WA3KLR.
Not much money involved, but I get a kick out of getting rid of this stuff. depends on people, how they're interested in it.
I guess that's about it.
Oh, you can talk to me about the about Carl there to the net, Tom. Is it KD3C Mike or KD3C Nancy? Might let me know that. And I guess that's about it. It's your turn, John. How's things on the other side of the hill? KCBL seeing the group? W3OLB. Don't hear you, John. Our KCBLC, are you there?
That's too long in Portugal.
Okay. Hang on, Buzz. John, you there? I don't hear him. No, I don't either. So, it goes to you, Bud, and when you're done, pass this to Lynn, W2BSN. So, K2LP and the group, W2OBJ.
Okay, I'll be warning the one and say, don't you worry about this. It's fall. About 53 degrees here. And not much to report, but conditions on 20 meters are very good right now at the moment. So BSM or whoever, BSM, K2LP.
Yeah, K2LP in the group, W2BSM. Well, air signals all the way around this morning. Signals seem to be generally lower than normal. Not sure what that's all about, so we turned the amplifier on here and made sure everybody'd have a chance to hear us anyway. Good morning, gentlemen, one and all. Couple of comments here. Real rough copy on Paul there. Just barely above the noise level and pretty hard to understand. Peter, the antenna analyzers, I have the MSJ-269 and I think it's a pretty nice toy. Definitely have gotten a lot of use out of it, and not only in building antennas, because I like building my own antennas, that's where it's particularly helpful because it gives you a pretty good idea of where you're at, and makes tuning a wire antenna very simple. It also is nice for setting up my tuner when I want to change bands and have to use the external tuner. I can set it all up and know exactly where I'm at before I ever connect the transmitter to it, and that's kind of nice too. So, yeah, it's a nice convenience item, but certainly not a complete necessity by any means. But where it really shines is when you can take it outside where the antenna is and connect it directly to the antenna without the T-line in there and make measurements and so on. Very convenient for that. So I'll leave it at that. But I do like my analyzer. The report for today from the museum, boy, yesterday was really busy. We had an antenna party yesterday. There was an estate donation from W2 David David, and we had picked up the equipment last, sometime in the spring. Don't remember exactly when, but they wanted us to come down and take the antennas, and they had a very nice 54-foot Rhone crank-up tower with a, I think it was a Tri-X 5-element beam on it, and it was a 10-element 2-meter beam on it, and they wanted us to take that out of there too. So yesterday was the antenna party day. Seven of us went out, and this tower has been up quite some time. We're not sure how long, but it was pretty long, and was very had been very encrusted with vegetation, creeping vines, you name it. And of course, since the time that the antennas and tower went up, the trees, which some of which were quite close by, had also grown, complicating the bringing down of the tower. We're trying to save the antennas as well because we need them for the new museum. So seven of us went out
three truckloads of implements of destruction. And we had a little bit of everything and used a little bit of everything. And very successfully, we got the entire antenna right off the top, got the tower down on the ground, got it cut off from the base, and had it all ready to be picked up. We're just going to arrange the truck now. But it did take 7 of us, and it took us about 4 and a half hours to get the whole job done, including trying to trim some of the trees out of the way and the trees we couldn't trim. We got some ropes around the limbs and just kind of pulled them back out of the way. And, a good time was had by all, but it was a lot of very hard work. And certainly we hope to see that that drone cranked up tower show up at the site of the new museum sometime within the next year or two. We got to find somebody that can fabricate a new part of the base for us to sink into the concrete. Obviously, we didn't have enough implements of destruction to take out several yards of concrete with a tower buried in it, and decided that we would leave that part there for some future occupant of the homestead. But it's quite a it was quite an operation to get all that done. And fortunately, one of our guys had a tower just like it, so he had the correct crank for cranking the thing down. And in spite of the age of the tower, all of the cabling and gearboxes for both the crank and the tilt were just fine. They worked beautifully, just needed a little bit of extra lubrication to get things moving again, and it really speaks to the durability built into this this Rowan tower. I couldn't tell you what the model number of it is, but I know it was 54 feet high and with three telescoping sections, and it was definitely a nicely built piece of machinery. So that's kind of what went on at the annex yesterday. We all showed up and left. And it's this tower was about maybe about 8 miles away from the annex. So it was quite an antenna party, and all of the volunteers worked very well. There were 7 of us out there, and we all worked very well together, and it just went as smoothly as you could possibly ask for. No major snags at all. And we got to play with all kinds of neat toys. We were using a plumber's air acetylene torch. We had oxyacetylene for cutting. We had battery-powered hacksaws for cutting the tower off the base. And K2JDD, our friend Jack Ruby, even showed up and we used his air cannon for throwing ropes over the limbs and moving things out of the way and whatnot. So a fun time was had by all with a major assortment of very masculine-type toys. Hi, hi. So that's kind of the annex report for today. And yes, the values of some of this equipment, I assume that was more or less the original cost translated into today's cost is what they were really trying to get across there. And of course, the other thing that brings out is how economical it is to build today's radios. Because by comparison with mass production methods of solid state and how cheap everything is to produce, it costs so much less for so many more features today, and that's pretty interesting too. And Paul, my goodness, an old timer like you, and the bulb burned out and you just had to sit there in your shack with the glow of the tubes to keep you warm. Actually, that sounds pretty good to me, Paul. Hi, hi. Okay, I'll stop yapping away here. We'll turn it back over to Al. W2OBJ with the group. This is W2BSN.
Okay, finally, W2BSN and the group from W2OBJ. Very good. Interesting comments all around. Thanks for that report on the tower removal. Sounds like you guys had a real good time. Let's see, Peter, on the antenna analyzer, I guess Lynn's comments covered it. I don't have one, I don't intend to get one, but if I ever needed to find out what my antenna repeats is, I have a different way of doing it.
I do it off of my my tuner. I wrote an article on that, so 10 or 15 years ago. And from the settings of your antenna tuner, the components, the capacitors and the roller coils and so on, you can actually plot this thing. You can get the answers. Yeah, I guess Tom's article there about updating the course, that would be for new equipment. I read someplace where my ART-13 transmitter, the Collis transmitter, would cost about $60,000. That was about 10 years ago. So things do escalate dollar-wise. I guess our dollar is worth about 13 cents now compared to what it was 50 years ago. by the way, Tom, your 1884 kilohertz crystal can be moved easily to 1885, you know, a little crystal grinding experience there. And let's see, lastly, the leaves are falling in the backyard just like it was raining out there now. It's warm and we had a lot of rain over the weekend and we had frost last week, so they're about due to just come on down. And I'm waiting for them to come down. Then I'm going to mulch them. Okay, anybody else wishing to check into the AWA, Bruce Kelly, HFNet, over. Bud?
WB2ECC, is he aboard?
Negative.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, our second round then will be to Peter and to CME, then to Paul, KRE, then to Dave, to Tom, to Doug, to Paul VVS, to Floyd, to John, if he's still with us, and then it goes to Bud, K2LP, and then Bud, you give it to Lynn, BSN. So, and to CME and the group, W2OBJ.
W2OBJ, this is N2CME and CMNet, and thank you for your thoughts on the antenna analyzer. And actually, Lynn, I've been looking at the Altec JA1, which has a certain amount of appeal to me. I'm not quite sure, but I haven't definitely decided to go after it, but I've been trying to compare the NFJ-269, and I think there's a couple models of those, as well as the Altec. And there's a few others floating around there. There's a $1,300 model, which you know, is PC-driven and which gives you all kinds of charts and bells and whistles. But, I mean, that is so beyond what I think I'll ever need. It doesn't make sense. But I do appreciate that, as a matter of fact. The antenna tower actually sounds exciting. I mean, I find myself getting excited. It would be a great thing to have found, and an even greater thing to have set up. I wish you a lot of luck, and I hope when I'm up there in May, I get a chance to see it in action. But I do have another question, which if anybody has any thoughts on, I found myself in the position of having no more QSL cards. And I'm kind of casting about to try to find out where I might go to do that. I know there's a lot on the internet, and that's probably where I'll end up going. But if anybody has any particularly thoughts, any thoughts about that, I would appreciate it. Al, one last thought. I would love, if there's a way to get it, to see a copy of that article you did on how to do an analysis of your antenna through your tuner and through charting. If that's something that's available, you might guide me. I don't know if it's available on the internet or whether it's something that I could ask you to email me. I think that about covers it. Other than to say Halloween was kind of a bust here, but it's been that way. We're out in the country, and Halloween ain't what it used to be, I don't think. Well, anyways, over to Paul.
K4KRE, your turn, Paul.
Rocketing overhead, the true fact is there actually is a Minuteman base, F.D. Warren Air Force Base, Wyoming, which would be just northwest of western Kansas. So that would tell you that ICBMs launched on the show are heading southeast. Well, who would be the enemy? And shortly after that, they do have a high altitude nuke. They go off in the sky at night, and they've lost their power and electronics again. So it relates to what you were saying. And it finally hit me, maybe the scenario here is who is attacking the U.S. is maybe somebody's taking control of one of these missile submarines, because missiles heading southeast would indicate Cuba or South America somewhere is possibly the starting point of the attack on the U.S. Anyhow, Doug, I just printed out the W3QV homebrew 860 transmitter from 1931. I wonder if you have a higher resolution picture, though. That what I saved off of your website is a 92kbyte photo, so I'm hoping you have an original photo there that's much higher res. And Paul Carey, you're right. I was thinking a week ago of mentioning it's about time for the AWA Journal to come out, and then I forgot all about it. So actually, I think compared to 3 months ago, it's probably a hair overdue. But, hey, we're not the ones who are working on it, so I guess we shouldn't complain. But at any rate, I would say it's due imminently, the AWA Journal. And I've had to go into the Viking 2 again here, use it a lot, and it was fine a couple nights ago. I was on a round table at 1:60 a.m. for 2 hours. I made one real long buzzer transmission, and then the next night, as I fired up the rig, I noticed the grid dry was low, so I found the weak 6AQ5, which is the buffer tube after the oscillator. So I reported on the net recently I had to replace a 6146 in the final. So with all this use the Viking 2 is getting, it's just one thing after another. It's not really surprising. So with that, over to Doug, WA3DST and the AWA net, WA3KLR. I'll be looking for Floyd after the net.
Say their issues to the FAA, and I got a
another one here that says it's a GE 5-star 2. It's a 6005/68Q5W, so I don't know what kind of a tube that is. Some kind of a special tube. And I didn't bother looking up a 6005, but that's what it says on the carton. Okay, I have nothing. I gotta go out and get a Xerox copy of my trustee license here, which was renewed until 2016. Boy, I'm not gonna be around to make any use of that particular license, but we'll use it on field days. Okay, I think everything's pretty well taken care of here. I don't see any notes. So with that, over to you, Floyd. W3OLV to transmit. This is W3VVS, and everybody have a good day.
W3VVS, the group W3OLV. Not too much more to comment about on today. The high ground internet were calm, and K4KRE, thanks a million for those pictures. I went through them again. They're real nice. I really like them. Set of prints from up at the convention. I forget how many, I didn't count them. There's quite a few of them. It was great. Thanks a million. I guess we'll say 73 is the turn of the gun. If you don't take it, I guess it goes to Kabad there. KCBLC in the group, W3OLV.
Hey, go ahead, bud.
Okay, I guess Bud is gone also. So Lynn, are you still with us? W2BSN?
Yeah, I'm still here, Al. Don't know what happened to Bud there. I thought he was sticking around. Okay, boy, the signal seems to be actually decreasing in strength here. Several signals are a little hard to catch in that realm, but we did the best we could with it. Peter with the QSL cards. Yeah, I found out that if you go to Staples or Office thing, but that's just how it works. And Tom, with a Viking 2 there,
one sitting right next to me here. It's a wonderful machine. I thoroughly enjoy using it. And, you know, we get on AM here and there with it, mostly on 80 meters. So just keep that thing warm and running. Some people may have it already and some may not, is they did not mail it first class mail this time. They mailed it, I think, third class. So some of the deliveries may be a little bit behind. I did receive mine the other day, and we did do the mailing for all the international stuff. We still have to sit there for all of the journals that go outside the U.S., and we stuff them in the envelopes at the annex and put the stamps on them and mail them at the local post office. But the printer that's printing them now does the domestic mailing for the U.S., and in an effort to save a little money, we did go ahead and do the third-class mail. One thing that is important, though, guys, there is a proxy vote in that magazine. Please, as soon as you get it, get your proxy vote signed and mailed in so that your votes will be counted. That's direct from Mr. Gable. He has absolutely asked us to put a plea out for everybody to get the proxy votes in as soon as they can. Okay, that's the end of my spiel for today. I'm going to say my 73s, and we'll be seeing you guys next Wednesday, I hope. As long as everything goes well, and take care, and everyone have a very nice day. Back to you, Al. W2OBJ. This is W2BSN.
Yeah, okay. W2BSN and a group from W2OBJ. Yeah, very good. Interesting comments all around. Peter, I'll need your address so I can send you that information. Are you still with us, N2CME?
I sure am. You want my regular address, that is mailing address, or would you like my email address?
Well, let's see, the email address won't do. This is many, many pages, so give me your regular U.S. postal address.
Roger. It's Post Office Box 627, at 627. Cobleskill, New York, COBLESKILL, New York, 12043. And the last name is Bent, B-E-N-T, as in crooked. Go ahead.
Okay. These mechanical pencils, I went to extend the lead out a little bit, and about an inch long of carpet came out. So let's see. It's Peter Bent. And give me your address again. Post office box something.
627 at 627. I'm sorry. Post office box 627. Post office gets fussy these days. You've got to put P.O. Box 627 or they'll send it to Albany. Cobleskill. COBLE. KILL, New York. And that's 12043. Go ahead.
Okay, QSL, thank you very much. Does anybody have any comments before we close the net?
WA3KLR.
N2CME.
Go ahead, Tom. Yeah, okay, I have a 1984 Sam's radio and TV guide here. I don't know if it's up to date, but I looked up CHML. It's listed as Hamilton, Ontario on 900 kilohertz. And as I said, that's what it was in the 84 directory. It might not, it could have changed frequency, but that's what I had, so back to net control.
Okay, thank you. And Peter, you had a comment?
Yeah, just had a quick question. Well, a comment and a question. First to Len, thanks very much for your suggestions about Staples, that seems like the right way to do that, and I will look into it. Thanks very much. And I forget who it was, maybe it was Len also. What is an air cannon? I need something like that to put up another antenna. Go ahead.
W2OBJ, we'll close the 75 meter antique wireless association Bruce Kelly HF net and round it off to 1547 hours. Good morning, 73, see you on Friday.
W3OLV, WA3KLR.
WA3KLR, W3OLV.
Yeah, okay, now let me take a standby. Is somebody else that needs to say something? Yeah, nothing.